Good morning. So as you can tell, I've got a little bit of a cold, but I think I could get through it. So I'm going to be talking about using a mechanism of the strategy of coaching to help substance abuse agencies improve their treatment. Let's see. Which one? This one? There we go. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. And just to give you some background, there's a lot of pressure these days to have more evidence-based treatment introduced into substance abuse treatment. And coaches are thought to be one way of doing this. They've been used most often in sports, executive management, and personal physical training. But I could only find about one study where it actually been used in substance abuse treatment, and that was by William Miller. He used coaches to improve counselor efficacy in using motivational interviewing and found that it was effective. But otherwise, there was a lack of relevant studies working with substance abuse treatment or working with groups. And so the setting for this study is the Network for the Improvement of Addiction Treatment, or NIATICS. And this is a collaborative effort with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and CSAT. And the goals of this project has been to increase client access and length of substance abuse treatment. The research has shown that if you could get clients in sooner and keep them in longer, they tend to do better in treatment, and so this is an evidence-based treatment that they wanted to promote. And the participants were 38 agencies throughout the United States. In the first round, about 10 agencies were selected through Robert Wood Johnson and another 13 through the CSAT. The Robert Wood Johnson program was for 18 months, and the CSAT program was for 3 years. And then in round two, there were 15 agencies selected through the Robert Wood Johnson program. So all in all, 38 agencies. And the intervention components included executive sponsorship. Each agency had to have an executive sponsor. They had to have a change team composed of staff at their agency and a change leader, so that person would facilitate the change team. There were learning collaboratives or conferences for all members of the agencies participating in this effort, and those were held about every 6 months to 1 year. They also provided inter-circle calls, which would be conference calls for people interested in particular topics such as women's treatment, continuation, that type of thing. They also have a website with resource information, and that is available for others to use too. And then they also had data collection and training. They taught people how to do PDSAs, Plan, Do, Study, Act, sequences or cycles, which are short cycles for change. And then at the Oregon Health and Science University, we were in charge of the evaluation of the entire program, and so we had the agencies collect client-level data as well. And there was training involved in how to do the data collection, because most people in substance abuse agencies are not that adept at it initially. And then there was coaching, which is the focus of this study. Okay, so the questions that I had and have are which coaching strategies and interactions were useful to the agencies, which were problematic in reaching the agency aims, and then what recommendations might we make based upon these findings? We collected qualitative interview data through annual visits and quarterly phone calls with agency representatives. And then there were also conference calls for all of the coaches, which were held initially on a weekly basis and then tapered off. And they occasionally had meetings and get-togethers as well. The people who were interviewed included the executive sponsors, the change leaders. When we did a site visit, we also would interview one other staff member, and then there were focus groups of staff members in the agency. We did not do any interviews with clients themselves. And then the coaches and the NIATEC's project leaders, or the National Program Office, who were involved in the coaches' calls, were also involved in the data. And overall, we had about 910 documents, interview documents, that have been analyzed, and that the analysis is using Atlas TI software, which is for qualitative analysis, and we've done that for coding and theme identification. So what are our findings? So the coaching strategies that we found that were most useful to agencies were, first of all, that they needed to be consistent and have regular contact. And here, this change leader was talking about her interaction with her coach and saying that they spent time talking to each other each week and sometimes touched base more frequently than that. And then they also had visits to, he would oftentimes come to their agency. So the frequency of interaction that I looked at, most of the coaches communicated by phone about every week or every other week. However, there were some who did it less frequently, such as about every other month, which was not considered to be as useful. And some of the coaches communicated with some of their sites more frequently than other sites. And so you couldn't say that one coach was consistent across all of their sites. So sometimes this was not the case. However, overall, by the end of the project, 15 of the sites, 15 of the 38, still reported that they had that they were having still contact with their coach, which is pretty interesting that they were, even though the contracts had ended. The people who were involved in the project found that the coaches' perspectives contributed to new insights, and that they were useful and helpful. I think I missed a slide here. I just wanted to note that all of the coaches for the first round, about nine coaches, were had engineering backgrounds. They were not from substance abuse field. And then about five coaches were added on the second round who were former change leaders. And so those people were already experienced in substance abuse. But here the people are commenting sometimes that it was helpful to have somebody who was outside their field to have a fresh objective perspective on what they might do. The change leader and the change team were often coached to help develop common goals. And although the coach was usually working with the change leader primarily, sometimes they would meet also with the change team and other members of the staff at the agency. And that was very helpful. And they helped the teams to focus on issues. Here somebody from a focus group said, initially we wanted to do a lot at once, and the coach worked with us to do things one step at a time. The dialoguing helped refine what we were talking about rather than coming up with a change before knowing who they were. So people initially were not able to figure out exactly what they should do first. And then some of the coaches also conducted workshops for the entire agency, and that helped to develop buy-in so that people throughout the agency would understand what was happening and why they were doing these different changes. So they might train all the supervisors, managers, and directors, and this really helped to further the goals of the project. And then the second area that I wanted to look at is where there were problematic problems or problematic issues in terms of reaching the agency aims. First of all, there tended to be a lack of role definition as to what a coach was supposed to do. And so this inhibited progress. And particularly if there was turnover in coaches, then the site had to get used to a new coach all over again, and it takes a while. And especially if you realize that further, that if they have a lack of familiarity with the field of substance abuse treatment, then this really creates an issue. So even talk about here that if they didn't take the time to learn about the substance abuse agency, about their culture, like this at the top, this says the coaches are nice people. This is an executive sponsor who said that. They need to know their audience. This agency has been doing performance improvement for some time. We want somebody to help get us to the next level and would like things to be more personalized. So this kind of created a barrier in terms of how effective a coach might be as well. And then another area that was an area of concern is whether or not the coach could actually help with the data issue. And this one individual said there are two parts to the data. One is data collection and the other is data analysis. The part around data baselines is still a challenge. I had the similar frustration, but I don't have that frustration now. What made the difference was the dedicated support of, actually it was somebody from the National Program Office and others. I could call and get over being stuck by their teaching and coaching me around that. But obviously this person's coach was not as effective there, and this person had to go to another person to get instruction on what to do in terms of the data analysis. And data really does play a very key role in introducing change, because then people can be more objective about what they want to accomplish.
2 minutes.
Okay. So, discussion. It's maybe helpful to look at coaching then on a continuum, because not everybody was a perfect coach or the worst coach. And sometimes they were both a good coach and a bad coach. So, depending upon the agency, and I'm not sure exactly what happened there, whether it was just a lack of fit or whatever. Coaches were useful in helping agencies to adopt evidence-based practices, and these evidence-based practices included having a customer focus, using data to make decisions, using PDSA strategies to test assumptions, because these are short cycles instead of getting into something that might take a year to test, and then focusing on access and retention. And then the most useful coaching practices were having the outside perspective, but being sensitive to the culture of the agency, introducing new ideas, and then being consistently and frequently available, and providing contact with both the change leader and other agency representatives. The limitations, of course, are that this is a qualitative study, and it's cross-sectional just at one point in time. It's a fairly unique intervention, and all of the participants were self-selected. They were applying to be in this project. And however, it does provide information from a diverse group across the nation, and it has been found to be fairly effective. So in conclusion, using coaches could be an effective strategy. They're a neutral presence, and they can provide support, bring in outside ideas, and with knowledge about what some of the pitfalls might be, you can minimize those pitfalls as well. And so here's just some acknowledgments of our granting agencies, Robert Wood Johnson, NIDA, and CSAT. And I wanted to also acknowledge the principal investigator on this project, which is Dennis McCarty. And there are some references in case you are interested. Thank you very much.
Thank you.